In mainstream healthcare, there's the body, and then there are the teeth and the gums. Medical and dental care operate in two different worlds, even though there's proof that mouth health is tied to heart trouble, diabetes, and HIV, among other chronic conditions. For a look at how medicine came to carve out teeth and treat them separately, and whether anyone is trying to put them back together into integrated healthcare, we turn this morning to WBUR's Martha Biebinger and this report.
My colleague Steph Katsonis stops me in the hall at work every few weeks with a new pearl of healthcare wisdom. Last week, it began with a story of three teeth that had to come out.
I'm getting implants put in, dental implants. Two down here, bottom left, and one up here, yeah. So when they tell you to chew on the other side of the mouth, it's a much more subtle dance than that. There's a foxtrot going on there at mealtime.
Katsonis giggles about the chewing dance and then gets serious.
Our dental plans are awful compared to our health plans. With these implants, I'm paying thousands of dollars out of pocket, and it's breaking the family bank.
And Katsonis wonders why his dentist doesn't communicate with his primary care physician and vice versa.
My own doctor has no idea what's going on in my dentist's office. She doesn't know if I'm having implants. She doesn't know if I'm being given these antibiotics. She doesn't know if what I'm being given clashes with anything else she's doing. And it just seems to me that this is exactly the sort of thing that in this new information age should be shared.
How did this happen, this decision to treat the teeth and gums outside of general medical care?
When you think in terms of medical and dental care, it was pretty much together through the centuries.
That started to change in the 17th century, says Dr. James Gutman, editor of the Journal of the History of Dentistry. A French gentleman named Pierre Fouchard aimed to elevate dentistry as its own science, separate from the doctors or alchemists, as well as barbers who regularly pulled teeth. The first dental school in the U.S. opened in Baltimore in 1840.
It did not focus that much on medicine. It focused more on being a good craftsman. And they were tremendously good craftsmen.
Dentistry shifted back towards medicine in the early 1900s, says Gutman, as dentists and doctors realized that an infection in a tooth could spread to other parts of the body. Doctors and dentists shared classes in some schools, but the idea of dentistry as more craft than life-saving care stuck. In the 1960s and 70s, funding for dental research was on the rise, but healthcare became linked to health insurance, and teeth were not included, says Gutman.
That's when we started to see a separation because there was no dental insurance at that time, as far as I know. There's just no coverage whatsoever.
Today in Massachusetts, community health centers are the only places where you'll routinely find a dentist practicing alongside a doctor.
The mouth is part of your body. It's just as important as your eyes.
Joan Pernice is director of clinical affairs at the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers.
We know that gum disease can really potentially cause systemic issues, especially with somebody who's already compromised because of a chronic illness like diabetes or cardiovascular disease.
With a growing body of evidence that links the health of the teeth and gums to the rest of the body, the medical and dental worlds are beginning to connect. Northeastern University has a new project to build oral care into nursing, pharmacy, and physician assistant degrees. There's a pilot project in Massachusetts that teaches pediatricians to give patients an annual coating of fluoride. Dr. Michael Wasterman, president of the Massachusetts Dental Society, says dentists welcome these changes.
This is just what the trend is. I think we are going towards a more integrated version of healthcare.
Wasserman is serving with doctors on an oral health committee the Massachusetts Medical Society has just formed. The chairman is Dr. Hugh Silk.
And we even go so far sometimes as to say, what if the two professions came together and we weren't working on things like medical approaches or dental approaches, but health approaches. So I do think these are steps in the right direction.
So can Silk imagine a time when dental and medical care, as well as insurance, come together?
Major things have happened in our lifetime around the world where things you thought would never happen would happen. Maybe we'll get to a point where people will revisit, look, we have dental insurance and we have medical insurance and it's time for health insurance. So I think there's hope that that could happen.
The Federal Affordable Care Act does include an experiment. It requires that insurers offer dental coverage for children. But dental and medical can be separate plans with separate deductibles and other charges. Reconnecting the teeth and the body is still more of an idea than a reality. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.